Hello everyone. So today I'm gonna show you how you configure a TeamFound server for your fresh brand new project. So this machine has got a TeamFound server installed, a brand new TeamFound server, and once you install the brand new TeamFound server, you get this admin console. Under this admin console, you get to see all the TeamFound server components integrated together. Be it in single server, be it in multiple server, all of them comes together here. So you get to see all of them. So when you install the TeamFound server, you by default get a default collection, and under the default collection, your team project gets created. You can pretty much go ahead and create a new collection. So if you go say that I want to create a new collection, let's say April collection, that's the collection name under which all the projects I'll be running for the customer April will come up. So I say next, and then direct here talks about which TeamFound server database you want to point to. So you can point to an existing database or the database which is locally residing. You say next, and here is your report server will be created. And then after that, you find the lab management which is not configured, and then this is the preview information. Once you verify that, it talks about the different other options. And I will say create, and this goes ahead and create the team project collection. So let's see how the collection would look like. And the moment you create the collection, it goes ahead and adds it to your SQL Server database as a database. So every collection will have a database in your SQL Server, which wherever you are pointing to. So when we have initiated that team project, we have seen that there's a collection called default collection. So if you just point to the local host of your database where you have all your data residing and open up the databases you are working with, you will find TFS underscore default collection. That's the database under which all your data will be stored for that team project collection. So you can find all the information over here under this database and all the tables that are available. So as it is creating core component and the version control repository for you, which is basically setting up the initial framework for all your team projects. So collection is the topmost hierarchy of your team TeamFound server component, right? And once it is over, you should be able to see that in the list. So it's almost completing. And this for this activity, you need to get into the team TeamFound server. And then do this. And this is the one place from where you can actually create a collection. And rest, you can pretty much use your Visual Studio and do connect to your TeamFound server and modify things you want to do that. Okay. And you say close. So your TeamFound April collection is already ready. Now what you need is a couple of things. You need to find how the TeamFound server really looks like and all other different options available over there. So you can also set the user rights, define the roles for a specific user. So a collection comes up with a lot of additional things. So if you go into this team project collection list and check your collection over here, and you will be able to find that group membership, and you will find couple of group membership under the team project collection which comes by default. So along with the collection name, you will find administrator, build administrators, service accounts, proxy service accounts, etc. The last one is a valid user, which is basically the collection of all the users you add to all those groups. So if you want, you go to properties, either add local user or the Windows group, and then to check which this part of this valid user group. So they by default comes into the valid user. So valid user is not editable. So if you want to edit the valid user by going to the property you own for this. You'll find these two are disabled over here because they are not editable, right? Now if I go ahead and close it and then open my Visual Studio, and whenever you are creating the team project from your Visual Studio, you need to ensure that you're opening your Visual Studio in admin mode. So if I go ahead and say run as admin, and then this Visual Studio opens up as an admin mode, and then you say connect to Team Fountain server, it is connected. If it is not connected, you can go ahead and add Team Fountain server by providing the server name, and then it uses HTTP protocol to connect to that Team Fountain server, right? So I go ahead and say close and select the April collection. I have no project. I say connect. Now this time it is getting connected, and in your Team Explorer you'll find that it is connecting to the collection. Now if I go into that and say create a new team project, so test proj APR, that's my April project, and I say next. I choose the process template I want to select, so go for MSF Agile and then select the source control and hit finish. So once I say finish, it should be able to download the template from the based on the selection I made, and will create all the necessary information for me under that. So basically it will create the information for me. Now it is going and getting all the information and creating the work item, source control repository, management templates, all the templates I need to be able to work with during the whole software development lifecycle period of this project under April collection. Right now it is over. Now this comes up with a list of few things by default you can see. So you can see that this comes up with work items, etc. Now if I go ahead and select the work item, I should be able to see my queries, team queries, etc. Right, and then if you go ahead in the reports, you can find reports and similarly builds and source control. Few things that you need to configure while creating the team project. You will find them under team project setting, whether you want to provide a security, add few additional groups. Now you find that there are four groups which are part of this project, and apart from that you get other groups from your collection, and you can now pretty much go ahead and allow, deny certain other things from this list. You can add users, you can add security group, Windows user group, etc. into this existing group. So pretty much you can think of anything. And then you have that second option of defining areas and iteration. So group membership talks about only the group belonging to the team project. So earlier you have seen groups coming from collection as well as project. Now this is for project. Now third option is your areas and iteration. So if you want to define areas and iteration, so you need to define area 2 like that. So the area 2 is defined, you can just go ahead and delete that. Okay, now you can see that there are default iterations coming up, and you can also define the security at the iteration level. So for example, at the iteration level 1, I don't want this guy to delete this node and all this stuff. So different things, different level of security can be configured in all across the team project settings. Now the portal setting talks about the SharePoint one. Now source control is very important. So whether you want multiple checkout for a single physical file or not, so if you don't want that chaos to happen while two people are modifying the same line and getting into a conflict mode and need to resolve, you just should uncheck that. Always people will be doing a edit to a file, and whenever they're trying to do edit, they should get the latest copy so that you get the fresh whatever they're in the source control repository will be coming up. Check-in policy talks about if you have any policy defined here, and then notes, if you want to enable notes. And if you want them, one of them to be required, always you add, do check into that. So those kind of settings can be done over here. Now if you go ahead and then stop it, And then you can pretty much define your project and everything. Now, before you define the project, you need to actually create a workspace. Now, if you see here, this machine has got workspace associated. You can go and edit that workspace and then point it to a source control folder, right? So if I point it to this source control folder, and I need a physical location to be associated. Now, if I go ahead and into the D drive and then create a new folder, April test, that's my local folder, and then say yes, and I hit OK. So this workspace is getting created for the version control, and I get the latest files from my server to this workspace. And our node map will become a physical file pointing to that folder. The moment I close that, I find D April test is appearing here, and also this was no more grayed out, and you can do that. Now, when you are defining this for project, you might have a hierarchy to do that. So you go ahead and say add new folder, and you create a development folder under which people will be writing the code. And once that folder is created, you find that it's a new plus sign, which means it's not yet added to the source control repository or not yet part of the tfaun server. I go ahead and do pending changes check-in, and then it goes to the tfaun server. Once it goes to the tfaun server, I should be able to change it to the branch, and then once I define that dev branch, okay, I just go ahead and right click, branching merging, convert it to branch, and then it becomes a branch from a folder. So the icon changes. I should be having hierarchy. From here, I will be creating another branch saying beta. So that's a beta release branch which I'm creating from development. So I go ahead and select that, and yes, I say yes. So the beta release has come. After beta release, I will be doing a final release. So I'll create another branch saying that release branch. And I can either choose yes or no, so that's not a problem. And then I go ahead and get all of them. Now, when my branch and everything is ready, I can see how the hierarchy really looks like. So if I go into that and then go and select the view hierarchy one, I see that it comes from development to beta to release, and that's how it looks like, right? Now, you can actually see all the hierarchies. So if you have different other branches, you can pretty much see them and then go ahead and do that. You can also define the policies around how the branch should look like. You can customize this list, and then you have pretty much various other options available here into that to be able to, which enables you to modify things for this project, right? Now that your branch and everything is ready, what you need to do is your actual Visual Studio code. So you go and say, go ahead and get me create a new project, and I should be able to create a project on Windows Forms application, let's assume. And I'm pointing to the workspace I've created. So I will go into D drive where I have created the workspace here, and then under development I select this folder, and it is getting created. And I also say add to source control, and then it points to the same source control folder and help me add this project to the development location, right? Now you see the list of pending changes files coming up. I go ahead and do a check-in, and then I just go ahead and apply the check-in. So all the file goes into my source control, and if I just explore the development window, I see a folder created with all the solution and PRJ files associated with it, and they are kind of done for me. So I can pretty much go ahead and create my project into that. Okay, and then write code in my application. So if I have a Forms application, I want to write code to that. So let me add a button and then under this button I say message box dot show and say hello like this, right? Now your application is ready, and while you doing coding, you just go ahead and see the Solution Explorer from here. So let me just open the Solution Explorer. You see that I've opened them in edit mode, so doing check-in, so things are going back to my. So this is the first look of how you enable the TeamFund server for your project and then enable it for the various other things. Now let's say I have got this team project ready. Now I want to also kick a build for that team project. So if I go back to my Team Explorer and then go into the build section, I define a new build definition where it says that controller is not yet configured. So what I need to do is that I need to go back to my collection, that build configuration section of my TeamFound server, and see where this build is exactly. So it is not pointing to the collection I'm working on. One machine can have one build controller targeting one collection. So this machine is targeting to one single collection. So I should be going and unregistering them. I can also use another machine to connect to this TeamFound server and point it to. So I go ahead and say register. It allows me to point to a team project collection from the server I'm targeting. So I can target any server, so not just the local one, but any server. So I now point to April collection and go ahead and then start this one as service account. I should be able to create a new controller and then leave all the default option, and once this is green, I should be able to create the agent for that. So now both of them are ready for me, and the controller and agent is ready. So agent will be becoming green. Now this time what I can do, I can just go ahead and try to define a new build. So if I define a new build, this will give a name of the build, saying that daily build. Once this daily build is created, I go ahead and trigger when I need this daily build to happen. That's manual, continuous integration, rolling build, or scheduled build. So based on my criteria, I should be able to configure that. And then after that, I need a UNC location into this local machine. So what I need is a shared folder under my machine and anywhere into this machine or any other machine. I create a folder called build drops, okay, and then this build drops should have be shared with specific people, and then I say share. Now build drops here is created for me, and let me check whether that can be accessible via UNC location. So the machine name is TFS 2010 Lab 1, and if I go into that and double click in the build drops, I see that build drops is accessible, and I try to write something new into this. I should be able to create it because I'm the owner of this. Now I will use this location as my build drop. It takes only UNC path. Now if I go into process, I see a lot of different options, and then I can pretty much go ahead and configure that. I can also define the retention policy. Everything is done. I go ahead and save that. I kick the build. So what happens when I say queue new build, I can pretty much go ahead and change the MS build parameters based for this specific build, and then say queue build. So when the moment I queue the build, the daily build started, right? And this will do all sort of different things based on the configuration I have made, and will be available under completed once it is done, right? So the build will happen in a short while based on the complexity of your code, Right now this code is fairly simple, and the definition I'm using for this build is also not so complex. So it doesn't have any test mechanism associated, nor you are doing any fxcop checking or code analysis, right? So this daily build is kind of completed, and it is showing you this. And if I double click that daily build, it shows you the WPF reader telling you what exactly happened to that build. You can actually view the log of step-by-step execution, what happened when and how much time it took. So if it is taking longer time, you can probably find it out where exactly it is taking longer time to get resolved that. You can open the drop location. So if you open the drop location, you'll find under daily build, the name has been given based on the type of the name which you have selected. So you can pretty much configure that from the property of your build, and then you either retain it indefinitely or mark it as ready for deployment and then save this. So once you do that, now you come back to your build thing and then refresh it. You find that ready for deployment is being marked here. So it's easy for you to identify whether this build was ready for that. So you can pretty much go and then collect it from there if you are trying to get some older builds. So that's it. Little bit of how Team Foundation Server can be configured, and you can create a source control repository for Team Foundation Server and go ahead and apply that to your actual project. Hope you will enjoy this fantastic product called Team Foundation Server 2010. Enjoy. Have a great day.